Hello, Cleveland, and welcome back to another edition of the Dogland Podcast. I am your host, Jackson McCurry. No Anthony Jokey on tonight's episode, but we do have a special guest. And if you've been listening to the podcast for years, he was a constant voice for a couple of those years. He's doing some excellent things over at the OBR as he's been doing the last couple of years. You can also hear him on the Paul Brown International Browns podcast. It is our good friend of the show, Mr. Jack Duffin. Jack, how are you doing, brother?
It's good to be back. I wish I was good at sleeping as I am at Brown salary cap stuff, because sleep would be welcome.
Yeah, I know. I know how busy you are these days, not just at the OBR, but you are getting a soccer club off the ground there over in England. It's some incredible stuff. I know the wedding bells will be ringing later this year for you as well. So you are a busy man. You got a lot on your plate, but I do appreciate you taking some time with us to talk about the Browns and everything that's coming here in the next few weeks with the free agency looming.
Always, this is the best time of year. It's like what some weirdos do, like when they put up the Christmas tree 1st December and it's a month of hype. This is me. It's like the season's done, now it's free agency, and it's a whole month of looking forward to when it all kicks off, and then it's effectively done within about 5 days.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, in our group chat this morning, I was like, man, the combine's next week. And Owen goes, it really is. I'm like, yeah. And then it's like, you look at the calendar and we're like 3 weeks away from free agency, like franchise tag period just opened Monday. So things are going to really be rolling now, like for the next month or so. Then we'll have that lull until the draft. And then after that, it's a lull till training camp and all that after that.
Usually, I'm pretty much at the stage when the combine comes along where I'm like, I've nailed free agency, I've got my list, it's all fine now, I know where I am. This year, I'm just like, I had a brainwave of writing on all 633 free agents. I don't know if I quite knew what I was getting myself in for, if I'm going to be honest.
You're killing it though, because like every morning, even though I'm not like actively on X as much as I used to be, every time I get up in the morning, check X, you got a new article out, boom, I'll hit repost to help you reach out to more Browns fans. But yeah, every morning, like I think today was rotational defensive tackles, and I read it and I'm like, man, Duffin's doing the work per usual, is what you've been doing the last like 4 or 5 years, and you just keep grinding, man.
Yeah, no, it's a fun time of the year, and it's nice to show that when people go, oh, why not this guy? It's giving you that answer, because it's pretty easy to go find, hey, here's two defensive tackles they should look at, here's two linebackers they should look at, and I'm trying to go, hey, here's 60 defensive tackles, here's why these ones are in my list, here's why these aren't in my list, and people can make their own decision. I'll put pressure numbers stuff in there. But it gives people some insight, and that's just the aim from sort of my side.
So, we don't know exactly what the salary cap number is going to be. You know, we've been looking at a projected number of 242 million, but on Monday, it's Mike Florio. I know a lot of people are indifferent on him when it comes to news and stuff that he reports. He said that he heard that it's not going to be 242. It looks like it might be a little bit closer to 250 million, which obviously every dollar counts, especially now, like for a lot of the teams, including the Browns, who are over the cap. Currently, we know things are going to change, but I think every dollar counts, gives them a little bit more flexibility. Have you heard, Jack, what the exact number is going to be? Florio said that we might hear something next week at the combine once the two sides come together. We might have a clearer understanding of what kind of money the Browns will be able to work with, but have you heard anything specifically like what the exact number is going to be?
So I've got no clue on exact numbers yet. It tends to sort of start leaking out at combine where teams and officials sort of they start chatting to the media a bit more, and it kind of just disseminates. But the initial projection was 256. So we're talking about it going up. We're not getting close into the range of what we're expecting. And the over the cap do such a great job. They chat to front offices around the league where they're asking for bits of information. So they have a really good connection, especially with the salary cap part of the front offices, because they hold so much data. And GMs, they don't go to their own guys to go, hey, what's this team's salary cap situation? They just plop over the cap. And that's well known around the league. What, why would you have someone in-house doing work that's available on the internet for free? But every dollar it goes up makes a difference. So the Browns will spend roughly sort of 120% of whatever the cap is. So if it goes 10 million higher than projected, that's 12 million extra Andrew Berry's probably going to get in his budget to spend. So really does help out when that number goes out. But yeah, every time it goes up, that's just more money you're going to see appear, not just in the salary cap projection, but my predicting how much they're going to spend this offseason goes up. They had an extra 5 million, boom, there's 6 million of budget. I don't know where they're going to spend it, but that opens up that discussion. So people think, oh, who cares what the final number is? The final number will impact what Andrew Berry goes and spends.
Yeah, and I mean, right now we're the Browns are what 19.6 million over the cap. If the salary cap's going up 4 or 5 million, that's what 4 or 5 million, or in your case, what you said, 10% more. Or yeah, I think you said
20%.
10% more. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be more money for the Browns to work with going into free agency. More money to, you know, spread out trying to build this roster, getting them back into the playoffs and hopefully the Super Bowl. Talking about the Browns, though, it's obviously the reason we having you on the pod. Like I mentioned, the Browns are 19.6 million currently over the cap. But we know contract restructures are going to be coming. Jack, we're entering year three of, you know, Deshaun Watson being on the Browns, obviously with the big contract. They have a plenty of big contracts on the roster. How are they, in your opinion, in the cap situation currently and still moving forward long term? Because obviously, you know, and I know Andrew Berry is thinking multiple years down the line, not just focused on 2024. How are they in terms of the salary cap, both currently and in the long term?
So they're in a really nice trajectory where they effectively spend the salary cap for 2 years into the future every single year. So as long as we don't get a pandemic or something like that, which causes the salary cap to crash, there is zero concern. They can keep doing what they're doing as long as Jimmy wants to keep throwing money at them. So Jimmy Haslam's throwing just over 50 million above league average at them. So even though the salary cap's going up, Jimmy's not just keeping up with that. He's going, here's roughly league average. Let's give you an extra 50 million. Go out there, have some fun, go and spend. And he wants to win, because owners can say what they want about winning. What's the one thing an owner can do more than anything to assist winning? It's spend more money. It doesn't guarantee results, but you would rather have a roster that is the most expensive in the league than the cheapest. You're naturally going to see more progression there. And an extra 50 million a year isn't going to take a struggling quarterback and balance the books against Mahomes, but it just gives you that edge. And it's part of the reason why the Browns were able to get to the playoffs without their quarterback, because they were spending, their roster was so much deeper. If you cut 50 million worth of talent out of this team, they were not making the playoffs. That's like Cooper gone, that's Za'Darius Smith gone, that's name some other guys probably gone out of that, and no Dalvin Tomlinson. Yeah, get rid of those three guys, and that's about a league average payroll. So makes a big difference into what you can go and do. But no, they're in a good spot. It means they want to do this sustainably, because they could go out 1 year and just go, hey, rather than 50 million above your league average, let's spend 100 million more than league average. But then you probably need to then balance it down and reduce your increase. You'd much rather go, let's spend 50 million more than league average every year, and then you can sustainably do that forever. Then you go all out in 1 year, and then you lose your edge for the next 2 years as you come back near to league average. So no, I really like what they're doing, and it opens up a whole world of options. People keep telling me, oh, but the bill's going to be due one day. No, it won't. Not unless the salary cap starts going down. So those people, typically Bengals fans, go do one. It's not my fault your owner's poor.
Yeah, and speaking of the Bengals and the other contenders of the AFC that the Browns are going to have to deal with and have dealt with, I don't know if you've gone into this in the depth, but how do they compare to, say, the Browns, like the other AFC contenders, like in terms of their cap situations?
So the easy one to touch on is the Bengals, because they've been in a really blessed and great spot. And it's why the draft's so important. You hit on Joe Burrow, you hit on a couple of wide receivers on rookie contracts. the surplus value of, hey, if you're paying a 50 million a year quarterback and you're paying him 10 million, that's a massive, massive saving that you can spend on other places. And it just puts you in a spot where it doesn't matter that you're only spending less money than sort of other teams. You're in a good spot because you've got these great assets that should be worth 50 million a year and you're paying 10. That's going to be interesting to see how they transition there. I'm expecting a tag and trade. I've said for a long time, I think T. Higgins will end up playing for the Panthers. So I don't expect him to hit free agency, but I think they'll put the tag on and trade. But they're going to struggle as they go through this move. The rest of the guys, hey, you can't be in cap issues when you've got rookie quarterbacks, so there's zero concern in Pittsburgh. And then, yeah, the Ravens, they'll be fine. Lord our savior, Sashi Brown, is in that building, so they're fine.
And what about like the Chiefs, for instance? I don't know if you've looked at them, but obviously they're under salary cap. They could obviously create a lot more because of their high-priced veterans like Mahomes, Kelce, Thuney. Like, how are they in terms of their like long-term spending?
Yeah, it's tough to know on the long term because obviously I've got a really, really good picture of what the Browns will do, so I can look into that and sort of say, hey, this is why it's fine. But they should be completely fine. They're not really spending much money. If you look ahead to next offseason, they've got 100 million of cap space. And that's, they can do a lot more to Mahomes' deal to bring that down if they want. They can let go of some guys like Juwan Taylor. Who goes 1 second before every snap, if they want to sort of save some cash and move it around. So I think the Chiefs are fine. Mahomes signed a really team-friendly deal, even though they gave him a slight bump last off-season. He's in a perfect fine spot. They're going to have no issues. Once you've got your quarterback and they're on a long deal, it's just moving pieces around. And it's like if they wanted to, if Watson continues to play, gets back to sort of what we saw in those two final games of he's just above average. He doesn't need to be Mahomes level, he's just above average. That puts him in a really nice spot for the next 8 years where they can just manage things around him.
So looking at the Browns, you know, we know they're over the cap right now, but we know contract restructures are coming. Last year, I thought it was unique, Jack, that they did several players and they restructured them years into advance. I remember, I think it was Wyatt Teller, Njoku. I want to say they did Betonio, but I know you'll correct me on it if I'm
Antonio and
wrong.
Garrett as well.
Yeah. So when I'm looking at over the cap, and I know that, you know, the majority of the time they take the base salary, they convert it into a signing bonus, and they usually pull it down to like the league or the vet minimum. So when I look at this year, I know Deshaun's getting restructured. I know Jed Wills is probably going to get restructured. And there was another one, Denzel. Like, outside of those three guys, is there anybody else they could really restructure to create significant cap space? Or is it just those three? And then they just like Andrew Berry's just going to have to do some crunching if he wants to bring in, say, significant talent.
Yeah, so Watson's the auto, Ward's an auto restructure. And as you said, if they definitely know Wills is here for the season, then you do him. And it's one point where when they do that restructure, you can't trade him after that without you trade it, but you just be left with all the dead cap. So once that restructure happens, that's the point where anyone sat there on Twitter going, hey, trade Wills. No, that's it. That's it. That idea is dead. He's staying. Beyond that, you're looking at Cooper, Chubb, and Conklin. They're the three. You can do Newsom if you decide to keep him, but it's minor because he's only on like 2.3 million or something. So you'd barely move any money around. But to be fair, they did do the same thing with Wills last year, which I didn't see coming, but hey,
No.
each their own. So, Cooper, what do you do there? Chubb and Cooper, they didn't restructure last year. So I'm guessing they're not going to do it again this year. They need to make a decision on Cooper. They could just allow it to run another year and then make up their mind once he's a free agent. It's a difficult one because if he only wants this year and next year guaranteed, you can do that deal when you can come to it. You could say to him, hey, we'll give you 50 million over 2 years as an extension. we'll give you 25 of it this year, 20 million next year, 25 million in that third year. So you're only guaranteeing 45, because you're guaranteeing this year and next year, with the team out in the final year. So that's something they could do. But he might say, actually, if I'm going to do that, I want 2 more years guaranteed, including this year. And then it's something like 75 million over 3, but you need to guarantee 2024, 2025, 2026. And he's getting a little bit older. Luckily, his skill set isn't pure speed. So it's not like a Tyreek Hill that if his speed element dropped off, is he going to still be able to produce, or the danger there? So they could look to do that. If he's only wanting this year and next, it's an easy deal. They can get that done, I'm sure. If he wants the third year of guarantees, which he's entitled to do at the end of the day, it's probably the last time he's going to cash in. He might say, I'm going to play out this last year with the Browns and I'm going to go get my 50 million guaranteed after I've owned this 20. So I could see it from both sides. And that's, I think, going to be the part there. And then I guess you want to ask me about Nick Chubb.
I didn't even want to bring it up just because, like, already I'm tired of the discussion. Like, not even with you, it's just the people on social media. Like, the Nick Chubb discussion, it's going to be an interesting one. I think we can all agree that we know the fan base loves him. Andrew Berry said what he said at the end of the season, but we know there's decisions that have to be made with this team. And unfortunately, Nick Chubb plays a position that's not as valuable anymore after like a rookie contract, maybe a small extension and stuff. I know that day's coming when Nick Chubb's not going to be on the Browns. I know that. I've accepted that the last couple of years, and I know he's probably not going to be the same player coming off the knee injury. But I also feel like if Andrew Berry said what he said publicly, then they're going to find a way to at least have him here this coming season and potentially next season. And then after that, it's all up in the air because they don't know what he's going to be after the injury. Yes, Nick Chubb's been a freak athlete. He's been amazing. We've seen the weightlifting videos, everything. We know he's going to work his ass off to get back. We don't know what he's going to be. We don't even know when he's going to be back on the field. I'm guessing the second half of this coming season. So I'm sure the agent, Andrew Berry, the whole organization's having those difficult conversations. I know you mentioned the whole thing. Well, if the rumors are out here about him getting cut, then it's if they're asking him to take a pay cut, then that discussion's being had. I'm sure they'll work on something. I think he'll be here. I say he'll be here for 2024 and 2025, and then after that, it's all up in the air.
So I would expect what's going to happen. It will happen before free agency begins. Not that he's got no guarantees in his contract, and he's got no vesting date, which is a weird one. Most agents would say, and it's the case with like Betonio, Teller, or even Myles Garrett. Once it gets to X date, like the 19th of March, say, so once the league year starts, I'm guaranteed you've got to pay me 2 million or something like that, because that forces the team into a decision to keep him or let him go. Because in theory, they could keep hold of him right until the first game of the season, then they could be like, oh, you're cut. And he would be entitled to nothing. And that's just not, it's not a good way to do business. And it's like, you'd much rather, as your agent just said, hey, you're due 12.2 million. We're going to ask for 2 million paid on the third day of the league year. Offers the team some flexibility if they want to move on, but then it allows the player to get straight into free agency. So it was weird from his agent not to put that in, but so be it. That's his agent's problem, not at the team's. You look at to Conklin. So 2 years ago, Conklin went through a similar scenario, injured, missed the majority of that season, and you're just not sure what you're going to get the next year. So no guarantees in his deal. Let's guarantee 2/3 of it, and then a third of it will make incentives. So it could be about yardage, it could be other stuff. Who knows what those incentives would be? But he could earn the full deal. At the same time, he's only guaranteed 2/3 of it. So it's a good way for the player to go, actually, I've been valued. But at the same time, they're saying, if you don't want to take slightly less money, we're going to have to move on because we want to free up 4 million that we can go and spend it maybe on a AJ Dillon or something like that. There's guys out there that you can spend a couple of mil on and just get a bit of security. I think that's the most likely route. And then he's a free agent. So it's one though that Who knows what he might be when he eventually steps on the field next year, but he's got that year to show that they want to keep him here long term. And it might be one where they let him test the market and say, look, you go out, chat to teams, see what they want to pay you, and then you can come back here and do it. The Patriots used to do it regularly with their players and say, look, we're not going to give you an offer that you might not like. You go out there, you can chat to all 32 teams, including us. When you set that market, can you just do us a decency of come back to us with an offer and we'll happily try and match it, bid it, as long as you give us or do it within the first 3 days of free agency. It's just a nice way to do business, because the last thing you want to do is you want to negotiate him with just him until he can go speak to other teams. So it's probably, I would guess, potentially the final year, test free agency and maybe return. The reason why some people have said, well, why don't you just extend him now if it gets the cap number down? You're probably going to look at 20 million guaranteed over the 2 years. And I just don't see how you can guarantee him sort of 10 million in 2025 when he's coming off this serious injury. He could step on the field and you could be like, he's done. He will never be anything more than sort of the end of Frank Gore at sort of at that stage. You've just got no idea. So to hand out 20 million guaranteed to a guy that you've got no idea what he's going to come back as is just bad business.
Yeah, it's a unique situation, and I think we'll probably hear some stuff sometime next week at the Combine, and then as we inch closer to free agency, I'm sure there'll be some sort of resolution. Be like you said, the whole like Conklin thing where they, you know, guarantee some money, incentivize the rest, and then just move forward into 2024 and then see what the future holds after that. But it's definitely a unique situation, and I'm sure it will come to head here in the next couple of weeks. When we look at potential cap casualties on this roster, there isn't many, but you did mention a potential Amari Cooper extension. Is there anybody else this coming off season that you would expect an extension to happen? I know JOK is the hot one. You could say Greg Newsome, but I just don't see that happening at this point. Is there anybody else that there's a potential extension on the table with this Browns team currently?
I think you're probably looking at JOK as the most likely. I don't think there's really anyone else of note that is going into year three that could be up. Well, no, it'd be completed year three. There's Newsome, but I think Newsome's more likely to be traded than extended. Yeah, I'm not looking at anyone else on the list. I think in terms of sort of overhaul of the roster, this year's going to look very much like last year in terms of sort of the main makeup of the 53. You've only got Za'Darius Smith leaving. Everyone else who's a free agent is going to earn $3 million or less. So it's not one where you're really turnover of a roster. It's churning the bottom. Whereas next year, there's outs in everyone's deal. Is there anyone I can think of that doesn't have an out in their deal next year? Delpit. He's the only one. Because he's
newly extended.
Effectively 2024's year one. There's no one else. Garrett, everyone, or Watson. Watson's the only other one. So Watson and Delpit, I think you're only two players on the roster that don't have an out in 2024. That's not saying that they're getting rid of everyone on the roster bar those two players, but it's one where you're going to a Garrett and going, right, now let's get an extension done. You're going to a Njoku going, right, let's get that extension done. And it's a point where you then start, you see what the roster's going to look like for the next couple of years beyond that. So next offseason is going to be fascinating. This one, a little boring.
In terms of the JOK extension, what do you think the number is going to be? Like, if you had to ballpark, like, what is the projected extension number for him? 10 million?
10 mil, I think. That's... he might want more than that. And if he wants more than that, I think they would happily say you go test the market after this final year. The issue you've got is there's just so many Will linebackers that are always out there in free agency. Bobby Wagner's going to get like 4 mil a year. And he's not one that you're not going to sign Bobby Wagner and go, hey, there's our Will linebacker for the next 3 years. He's only going to probably play one more year potentially. But There's just so many out there like that. Trying to find, if you wanted to spend sort of 10 mil and get a Mike linebacker, they're not as many of them on the shelf because teams tend to keep them around. But I wouldn't be sad if it comes out that he wants sort of 12 to 15 and they say, nah, mate, you're good. So that would be the better way. I would feel more annoyed if they cave and start giving him 12 to 14 million because he's just not worth it. I think he is very much boom and bust player, not in the aspect of he plays badly. He chances on stuff, shoots gaps, and it's why he's always he's around the explosive moments for the defense and the offense. So he'll shoot a hole because he thinks it's coming there, and sometimes he will hit. And to be fair, on the last season, he hit more than he missed. But you'll also see times where he's just let a guy go and that's gone for big yardage. So
The
where
playoff game.
you've got a highly talented defense, he's going to look really, really good. He was on a struggling defense. He's going to look awful because he's the source of the problem. So it's one where it'd be a weird free agency market for him.
Yeah, it definitely would be. And the boomer bust thing with JOK, the playoff game was prime example. He had like four tackles for a loss, but he gave up that long touchdown to Brevin Jordan. Like he was responsible for that. So it's like, it's going to be interesting. I'm looking at the linebacker numbers now, like the 10 million range. He'd fall right in with Jerome, or right below Jerome Baker, but with Devondre Campbell, Bobby Okereke, DeMario Davis, Logan Wilson. If he goes higher than that, then you're looking at Matt Milano, Olakun from Jaguars, which that wasn't a good investment. And then, yeah. So I feel like 10 million would be fair for JOK. Anything higher than that, then there would be serious conversation need to be had. Like he had a great year last year, but anything more than that in a position where the Browns really haven't invested a lot of money into since this regime's taken over in 2020, I don't think they would command or give serious money to JOK like that. I just don't see that happening, honestly.
Yeah, I'd prefer to be around the 8, 8.5 range, but I'm just kind of accepting of how we finished the season. And there was a weird point. In the middle of the season, he couldn't get on the field. He was playing like about two-thirds of snaps. And it was weird. We never really got an answer from Schwartz, and I don't think anyone really asked him. Many of the beat probably didn't even realise. But it's one that I would love to know. But he finished quite strong. He's now at 7 career games, I want to say, with over 90% of snaps. And 3 of them came this season. So definitely one where it's picking up. And they felt more confident with him there at the end of the season. But I think one game he was one snap short, which that was just rude. It would have been his first 100% snap game, and they took him off for one snap. Hilarious.
Should have been like Joe Thomas when they tried to pull him out in his consecutive snap streak, and he'd just been like, go back to the bench. I need this. But in terms of free agency, Jack, you've looked at all the position groups, all the players and everything. Where do you see the Browns going in free agency? Like what do you think is going to be their top position group that they go out and, try to target a good name? I won't say a great name, even though, there's the outside chance they go after a marquee name at a position, but what do you think is the position groups they're going to attack in free agency?
Yeah, so I think if they're going to go big, someone's got to depart. Probably Wyatt Teller is that option there. So I don't think it's one where we're going to see a move where we're like, whoa, they've spent 15, 18 million on a guy just to set expectations because, quite rightly, it's the sort of thing that people want to sort of get a sense for what's coming. I think wide receiver is most likely to be where we spend some money. Gabe Davis, I think, is probably the top name there. And if you want some other guys that are going to be over 5 million, Hollywood Brown, Darnell Mooney, DJ Shark, I think that's probably your buyer. There's some guys that are going to cost under 5 million, but I think Gabe Davis just makes a lot of sense. You've got the offensive coordinator, the connection. Sounds like listening to some of the guys that sort of cover one who focus on the Bills, they think he's probably gone. And sort of 12.5 million is stomachable. they can make that work, especially when every wide receiver on this team is effectively out of contract next year. They've got a few rookies, but they cost peanuts anyway.
Yeah, we had a Bills guy on right after the Dorsey hire, and he said that Dorsey and Gabe Davis were extremely close when Dorsey was the OC in Buffalo. So it makes a ton of sense. I think if the number, I think it's 12.5 was the projected number for him. If it's around that, I think the Browns do are in it. But if it goes into a bidding war, I just think the Browns will back off like they did last year with the D tackle market. Like obviously they were in on Hargrave, Draymond Jones, those guys got overpriced. So they went to Dalvin Tomlinson, which it worked out, you know, depending on how you valued his production. But yeah, I don't think they'll get into a bidding war with people, but I think Gabe Davis is probably the most likely target. I agree with you at the wide receiver position.
He just gives them something they don't have. And it's like Donnell Mooney, Marquise Brown, even DJ Chark, they're all nice players. I just think Gabe Davis brings something different. Gives that real deep threat. And I think it's just such a nice combo to have him go deep, Amari Cooper. You've then got guy from the Jets.
Elijah Moore.
We traded for Elijah Moore. You've got Njoku. Potentially you've got Chubb there. That skill group is dangerous. And then at the same time, it's not just settling there. You can still then go and back that up and take a wide receiver in the second round, because there's no harm in having your three depth guys are Tillman, Bell, and the second round pick, because hey, you might then go, if they all play really well, Amari Cooper, look, you want 25 million. We're not going to do that. Sorry, we're going to go a different direction. We've got Gabe Davis for, hey, maybe it's 2, 3 years. Maybe it's 3 years, 37.5 mil with 25 mil guaranteed. That's one way you go, that we're going to transition on now. We're going to let some of these guys go. We move forward. So I think it would be a really, really good way of doing it. And you're then six deep at wide receiver. We were really, really lucky last year that wide receiver just passed. There was a lot of injuries on the team, but not a wide receiver. I think if you lose Amari Cooper for half the season, they are not making the playoffs.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Like I think they're going to double dip. I know we've had this discussion in our group chat with Ian and Owen. Like, what are they going to do? I think they're going to get one in free agency. I think they're getting one in the draft, because I think they like David Bell, but David Bell hasn't done a lot. Cedric Tillman's unproven. Elijah Moore is entering his contract year. I think they target one at 54. Hopefully there's one there, because the mock draft simulators have been, you know, making me angry because there hasn't been my favorite wide receivers there. But I feel like they're going to get one there, even if they might move up a little. And then I think they sign one in free agency as well, just to provide some serious depth, because like you said, after this coming season, the wide receiver room is pretty bare. So I do think they're going to be double dipping to try to add some bodies into that room.
And the crazy thing about, like, the fact that we mentioned earlier, Za'Darius Smith, like, the only guy of note leaving in free agency. They are just bringing a load more talented guys in at the bottom of the roster. You're potentially adding another, like, 6, 7 draft picks, a couple of cheap guys. You might bring back Walker. You might bring back Takitaki. But you're effectively just completely pushing people up the roster. And that's great. If your 6 wide receivers are all second or third round picks, plus sort of 3 proven guys, that's a great position to be in. The old days of like, hey, we've got 2 wide receivers and we've got nothing. That's very different. And that puts you in a nice spot, because you're covered for depth for injuries. You're bringing in young, exciting talent, but you have to make them earn those snaps. You don't just go, hey, you're a third round pick. Yeah, you can start. And I think that's really good. And that's something you're going to see across the roster. If they're going to want 6 guys for the season, let's have 7 legit options competing for training camp. It's what they did more or less everywhere other than running back last year. And another spot I think is going to be really interesting with how they deal with it is edge. Because you have Za'Darius Smith leaving, they can go out and replace Za'Darius Smith. They can bring Za'Darius Smith back. Probably going to cost you about 12 mil a year. But if you want to go out and pay JOK, that money's got to come from somewhere on the roster. The most likely spot, Za'Darius Smith's money goes to JOK. So you're talking about 10.5 million, I think he's on. send sort of 7.5 that over. You've still got a little bit of there because Miles' number comes down a little bit in terms of cash this year, but that will shoot up 2024 when they extend him. That's going to get crazy. Marcus Davenport, that's my name that I'm keeping an eye on. He's an absolute pressure monster. If you have him, you have Okoronkwo, you have Wright. That's a really nice bunch of edges. It's not a superstar opposite Miles like we had in Za'Darius Smith, but you are going to get a lot of pressure if Marcus Davenport's healthy.
My final question. Obviously, the Browns, they have Deshaun Watson who's coming off the shoulder injury. They have DTR currently as the backup. Jack, is there any way that they're bringing back Joe Flacco or signing some type of veteran quarterback this offseason to back up Deshaun Watson?
I wouldn't. And the reason I wouldn't is say let's go for the best case scenario because Flacco in it. And if you bring in Dorsey to bring in a whole new offensive regime and make it better, well, you don't want Flacco because Flacco in that. If you're focused on sort of QB movement and a bit of other stuff, it's like Joe Flacco's not bringing QB movement. You'd have to sort of drill two schemes and it's like, well, what's the point in that? So let's say best case scenario is Jacoby Brissett. What, somewhere in the 4 to 5 million range? That's fine, but are you happy giving up Shelby Harris to and not having a second defensive tackle to pay Jacoby Brissett? Some people might be fine with that, and they say, "Hey, let's just take away Shelby Harris, and we'll bring back Hurst, we'll bring back Jordan Elliott, and we'll get another guy that is worth veteran minimum." And then you might have defensive tackle issues again. And why do you have defensive tackle issues? Because you spent on a quarterback that you hope never sees the field. And for me, it's like, however good Jacoby Brissett is, however good Joe Flacco was, are they going to win you a playoff game? Are they going to win you a Super Bowl? So why are we chasing losing a Super Bowl when we could be going, let's have Shelby Harris, who is a really, really good defensive tackle, that is going to play, is going to start. Not, oh, can we find a backup? I've got no, I think DTR was fine. If you don't watch the first Ravens game and you just watch the other time you played, you're like, hey, this guy's okay. Hopefully he's going to get better. Just give me Driscoll, give me Walker, stick him on a practice squad, it's fine. If QB1's gone, you ain't got a QB. It doesn't matter how much money you spend. If Jacoby Brissett was that good, he wouldn't be signing for 4 to 5 million a year. He'd be signing for 20, 25 mil. So I'm very much, nah, don't bother. Keep the money somewhere else. And I think that's the key point people need to, through this whole period of roster building discussions, opportunity cost. That is what this is. When I go, don't spend that money on this player, it's not because that player isn't worth it. Jacoby Brissett is worth 4 to 5 million. The issue is he worth it to the Browns and where in the roster you're taking that money from to give it to him? Same with the JOK discussion. You can pay JOK 10 million, but where's 10 million coming from to move it there? And that's the best way to think about it. Put the chips on the table, move the chips around the table. They don't magically appear. You don't just put your hand in your pocket and go, hey, that's another 10 million I've just magicked up. And it's got to come off of someone else's money.
It's a fair point. I mean, it's a discussion that's still ongoing here in Cleveland, in Northeast Ohio, in Cleveland, in the media and everything. Like, what's going to happen with Flacco? Are the Browns going to bring in a veteran? Like, it's a discussion point, but you bring up a strong point. If they sign a backup with to X amount of money, where are you going to move that around the roster to fulfill that? So it's a fair point. Maybe we just sign Josh Dobbs again, and when DTR outshines him in preseason, we flip him for another fifth round pick.
You never know. But if they do get Walker, Walker wasn't great. Walker was pretty bad.
That was
But
bad.
Walker was a really, really good third quarterback that is on your practice squad. If you looked at all the practice squad QBs, he actually played above expectations for a practice squad QB. So if you get someone like that on there, I'm perfectly happy with it because I've said you're screwed if QB2's out there. If QB3's out there and he's still winning games, that's just nuts. it's just it's not meant to happen that way. So yeah, I would very much roll with DTR. Let's just see what happens. If I'm screwed either way, let's see what he's got. And Owen be happy if he plays really well, because then he can sit there and discuss, can we just bench Watson and roll with DTR?
Oh, yeah. And you know Cleveland will get behind DTR if he comes in, asks to come in, and he performs really well, because then that, you know, those people that don't like Deshaun Watson, well, those voices will get louder, just like they did when Joe Flacco took us on that magical run to the end of the season. So it'll be interesting for sure.
But there's potential that DTR's great.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not that likely. How many late round QBs do turn out to be great? But there is a chance he's great. The chance that even Jacoby Brissett, the chance that Jacoby Brissett is going to lead a team to a Super Bowl is very, 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 very low. You're much better choose the wild card and see what's going to happen than go, oh, here's steady. It'll get to the playoffs and then we'll get blown up once we get there. Because the Flacco experiment proved that it's not good enough. Yes, getting to the playoffs, it was great. It was really good. I enjoyed watching a playoff game. But then you sit there watching it and you go, well, what was the point of that? It was like, well, the goals, I always do say the goal is to get to the playoffs and then ride the luck and see what happens. But that needs to be with the starting quarterback. They're backups for a reason.
For sure, for sure. Jack, it's always a great time talking to you, man. I always appreciate you. You were a big part of the Dogland podcast a couple years back. We always enjoy you coming on. We'll definitely bring you on later on in the off season to talk about what the Browns did and how it affects the cap going forward. And for everybody that doesn't know, Jack is killing it over at the OBR, doing some great work, explaining the salary cap for everybody, explaining the potential free agents that are out there for the Cleveland Browns. Like, Jack, go ahead and tell everybody what you got going on right now, what might be coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, so I'm currently in the midst of looking through 633, I want to say, free agents. So that's everyone that's an unrestricted free agent. They're all being looked at and written on. So each day I've got another piece coming out. So we did the starters at all 11 positions. We're now in the midst of doing like the rotational backup guys, depending sort of which position you're at, because you're a rotational edge, you're a backup linebacker, for instance. So we'll finish that to the end of this week. And then we're on to your depth guys, which is mainly going to be special teams. It's going to be sort of Walker at quarterback. Who might you bring in as a practice squad QB? Any of the random pieces like that? Not the most exciting bunch, but that's where that area is going to go. And then once that's done, the cheat sheet will come out. And the cheat sheet had great success last year. I'm not expecting it to be anywhere near as accurate, because that was nuts. Basically, every guy we were signing was on it. And hey, we'll see what happens. But no, that will take me through to free agency. Then I'll sleep for a couple of days, and then I'll be writing up contracts as they get announced.
Looking forward to it as always, man. Appreciate your friendship and your insight as well. And make sure you guys follow Jack on X at Jack Duffin, DUFFIN. And check out the Paul Brown podcast whenever you guys make that return as well.
Sod the Paul Brown podcast. Check out East Thurrock Football Club. So at East Thurrock, THURROCK CFC. We're 100% fan owned club. We've got owners all over the world, including several in the US. So by all means, potentially become an owner. You can vote on all sorts of stuff. We're voting on to decide our kits at the moment, charity partners. We voted on where we'll play. We voted on the club badge. It's all going on. Much more fun than giving your money to Jimmy Haslam.
Definitely go check all that out as well. As for the podcast, you guys can follow us on all social media platforms at the Dogland. Follow me on all social media platforms at Jack McCurry 08. Be sure to subscribe and review the podcast wherever you guys listen. We much appreciate it. We'll probably be back sometime next week talking about the combine, talking about free agent rumors, whatever comes up involving the Cleveland Browns. But until next time, as we get on out of here, go Browns.
Go Browns.